Chapter 8 here today, and I've named this sermon "Seeing People," and what's a tree have to do with people? I don't know, but yes, it is. It's in our story here today, so get ready to move our hearts towards the Word of God here this morning. If you travel down Interstate 80, you notice that there's not a whole lot of scenery sometimes to see, because there's trees lining both sides of the road. If you've ever gone down Route 10 across the south, the southern part of our country, all it is lined with trees. You can't see much. Karen's sister, when she comes, we usually travel down 80 to go to my parents, and she just hates traveling down that road because you can't see anything. All you can see is the trees. And so she's from Texas, and guess what? It's wide open there, so it's kind of not enjoyable for her to travel around here. But for us, we don't even give it a second thought because it's just part of our lives. We take things for granted. It's just part of the background. And a lot of times we don't notice trees until we have to do something with them. We maybe have to trim them. Maybe we have to, in the fall, rake the leaves, and we wonder why we planted so many trees in our yard to begin with. We look in the spring after a long winter, and we look for those buds and those blooms. Spring comes in March. We begin to look in April, nothing. In May, finally, we get to see something begin to happen. And so we don't usually pay attention too much to trees. They're just part of our lives. They're there. But today, we're not here to talk about trees. We're here to talk about people. And we're surrounded by people. No matter where we go, we run into people everywhere we go. But the thing is, sometimes they're like the trees. We just take them for granted. They're just kind of the background. They're just part of the scenario of our life. And we don't really give them much thought. But today, we're going to read a story today to kind of maybe get our eyes back on what is important. How many know, as the church, we are in the people business, right? And sometimes it's so easy to get wrapped up in the doing of the ministry that we forget why we're here. It's about people. It's not about just getting the word out. It's not about worship. Those things are important, but the truth is it's about people. It's about you. It says you as an individual in this house today. You are important to God. Everybody is important to God. And so we need to notice that there are people all around us. How many know that no matter where we go, as I said, we run into people. And a lot of times, they are just part of our life. They're there. They're I won't say necessary evils, right? Hallelujah. They're necessary to our life. When we need something, we need a service, right? We want people to be there to help us or to serve us. How many notice people when you're in a hurry? How many know when you're in a hurry and you're running late, you always get behind somebody that's slow, right? You notice them, right? We have common interest. Today, we are gathered in this house because we have a common interest in worshiping God. That brings us together. And how many know we just notice people because sometimes they're just freak shows? People are weird. They talk funny. They dress funny, right? They act funny, right? They draw attention to themselves. And so we begin to notice these type of people. But today we're going to look at a story here today that kind of encourages us to see people. You know, sometimes we can't see the trees because of the forest, right? And so sometimes we can't see people because of the crowd. And so we read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, when Jesus saw the people, he had compassion on them because he saw. What did he see? He saw their needs. He saw their needs, that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And today my prayer is, and that the emphasis of this message today is for us to begin to have a compassion to see people. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 22. And it says, and they came to Bethsaida, and some people, that's important for our message here today, some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people, and they look like what? trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go into the village. So Lord, we're just asking today that you will open up our eyes to see what the Holy Spirit might say to us here this morning. Because you're in the people business, and you've called us also to be in the people business. And so, Lord, we're just asking God, just stir something in our heart that maybe from this point on, Lord, that we will make it a point that we begin to see those that we encounter on a daily basis. And we want to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So, I want to look at one of those. I don't know what I'm looking at. I have to read my notes here. Okay. All right. I want to be one of those individuals that lead the blind man to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those individuals. And the truth is, probably nobody knows anybody in here. Some of you may know somebody who's physically blind. But in most cases, we don't. But we do know that people are spiritually blind. They do not see. And all you have to do is, if you don't believe me, turn on the news, and you'll see a bunch of lost people. And so today, I just want to encourage you just to open up your heart today to be the one who says in their heart, yes, Lord, I want to see people. And I want to open up the eyes of those, Lord, that do not know you as Lord and Savior. So as I look at this scripture here today, I want to draw out six details in this story. So I wasn't left a whole lot of time, but I have 6 points to this sermon. All right. So I will try to shorten them, all right? Yeah, right. All right, we'll move on. So let's look at the first one. The first point I want you to see here today is that the man was blind. Ooh, that's deep, isn't it? That's a revelation for us here today. This man could not see, and he needed someone else's help. So if even blind people today, how many know they need other people's helps? We know individuals, we've heard of individuals, we saw movies and saw shows, we saw news. We know people that can take care of themselves when they're blind. But how many know at the beginning? They can't. They need somebody to help them. And some of us may have a little bit of experience. Maybe you've had some issues with your eyes. Maybe you've had cataracts. Maybe you kind of understand a little bit maybe what it is not to be able to see. At given times in your life, there are games we play where we close our eyes, right? And play the games. But for most of us, that's all we have ever experienced. When I was in my first pastorate, I was working under our double wide. One of our pipes had broken, and so I was repairing the pipe. And so, of course, those who know, you have to have a pipe cleaner and you have to have glue to make it happen. And so I was underneath, and I was repairing the pipe, and for some reason, I left the can above my face, and I poured it into my eyes. And let me tell you, it stung. And let me tell you, I was out from underneath the house. I was running with my eyes closed alongside the house, up the stairs, opening the door, and yelling, Karen! How many know your wives come in handy? And she's a little bit cooler than I am. I panic a little bit more than her. She's a little bit calmer in her demeanor than I am. And we began to wash my... And all I could say was, I don't want to go blind. I'm shouting, I don't want to go blind. I don't want to go blind. I'm 30-some years old. I don't want to go blind. You know... All this is going through your mind, you know, I'm in the ministry, I have to read. I didn't want to go blind. We understand physical blindness is one thing. But we also need to understand there is a spiritual blindness. And they're not the same. And all of us at one time were spiritually blind. We were. Until we came to Jesus Christ and our eyes were open. So we see in this story the man was blind. Secondly, we see they wanted Jesus to touch him. Who are they? Some people. We don't know who these individuals are. It doesn't give us a name. It doesn't even give us a relationship with. They could have been family. They could have been friends. They could have been a good Samaritan. Or they could have been one of those crazy charismatics. How many have ever been around those individuals? Right? And we know that we don't carry olive oil from Israel in our pockets on a daily basis. Most of us don't. And how many know charismatics, they'll use anything they can get a hold of, even if it's Crisco. Even if it's motor oil. It just says oil, right? Yeah. They do crazy things. So here we see a story is that they wanted Jesus to touch this man. We don't know their name, but what we do know is they were a catalyst for a miracle that was about to take place in this man's life. So they demonstrated compassion. They saw the need in someone else. They had heard about Jesus, and they knew that this man could use a touch. They had compassion, and compassion is more than pity or empathy. Compassion has action to it. It's something we do. Growing up in meeting Karen, I don't know if I've ever met anybody like her grandparents, and we worked with them 3.5 years. I kind of remind everybody and say it was my purgatory in life to work with them. It was in Polvadero, New Mexico. It was out in the middle of nowhere. But they were probably some of the most loving and compassionate people that you'd ever want to meet. They opened their home to absolutely anybody and everybody. And sometimes they would tell us stories. They'd tell the family stories, and you're kind of wondering, why in the world would you do something that crazy? Why would you put yourself in a position of danger to help other people? They were just that type of people. One of the individuals they helped in that town was a lady called Mrs. Woods. And she was kind of a really big woman. And so she came to the church. Her grandmother picked her up, brought her. But there came a point that she could no longer come. And by the time we got to the church to work with her grandparents, she was no longer in the church. But they continued to minister to her. They continued to provide, get the food, went shopping for her, took her to the doctors, did all these things for her, made sure that she was taken care of. And I only have one memory of Mrs. Woods. I went with her grandfather. I went with another individual. We went to anoint her with oil. And I walked in that house, and man, I almost lost it. I'm not talking I broke down and cried. I almost lost my lunch. It was that bad. And some of you have been in nursing homes, in sections of nursing homes where it is downright ranky. And so this was about 10 times that much. And so we were in there. They were praying for him. And you know where I was? I was by the screen door breathing fresh air. That's how bad it was. But it was the compassion that they continually reached out and ministered to an individual like this. There was another woman, man in their church named Benny, and he was an alcoholic. They bussed him to church. He was there probably, one of the most faithful members of the church. And yet, he was bound by alcohol. And they unconditionally took care of him. They met his needs. They continually gave. I don't know if Benny ever gave anything back to the church, but all I know is that they ministered to him unconditionally. And if these individuals are in heaven, it is because of her grandparents. It's because they showed a compassion to this individual. They wanted Jesus to touch them. And these individuals that brought this blind man to Jesus wanted Jesus to touch him so that he could heal them. Thirdly, Jesus took hold of the man's hand and led him away from the village. And we don't always understand the scripture. We don't know the ins and outs of the thoughts of the individuals involved. We have no idea. We can guesstimate. We can try to figure out why Jesus took this man outside of the town to where he could minister to him alone. We don't know. But we do know that sometimes people can be a hindrance. How many know that? They can be a distraction from receiving from the Lord. How many know that people like a good show? If you've ever been in a healing service, people like to get in close. People like to see what the action is. So we don't know what's going on, but we know that Jesus pull this man aside. Maybe it's for the dignity of this individual. Maybe it was because, how many know when one sense is gone, your other senses are amplified? And so maybe it was the idea that he had to get him alone so that this man could concentrate on what was going to take place here. This man needed assurance. This man needed a human touch. How many know that people need a human touch? We wonder why our society is going down the hill because we have virtual relationships. We need human touch. We need face-to-face interaction with people. Folks, don't use the internet as your way of saying, I'm doing the ministry. No, our ministry is people. It's face-to-face ministry. We still need that. That's why we gather as a body of believers, is because we need this. We need it. Jesus was more interested in the blind man than the reaction of the crowd. One-on-one ministry is personal and powerful. How many know we need to sometimes minister to people one-on-one? It's good to minister in a crowd like this, but it is awesome, let me tell you, and apply more powerful and more beneficial to an individual when we minister to them one-on-one. So Jesus' methods are unpredictable and unprecedented. Of course, we know that, and I haven't heard anybody spitting on anybody's eyes here in our contemporary world. They probably get sued if they did. But we know that God works in mysterious ways sometimes. And so we see Jesus working in a very unusual way. So we see Jesus taking the man away from the crowd and leading him away from the crowd to minister to him by himself. The fourth thing I want you to notice out of this story is Jesus wasn't satisfied with the man seeing people as trees. Jesus' expectations were higher than the man's. His expectations were higher. We need to understand that the purpose of God's promises to us in the Bible take us to a higher level. Do you understand that? He doesn't want to leave us where he finds us. He wants to lift us up. And so he gives us incredible, wonderful promises that he wants to do something incredible in our life and through our life. We've got to want it, church, whether it's the minister or those who are receiving. We've got to want more. We've got to have expectations. We've got to have a greater vision. I have a daughter that does, she's made it to states the last two years in the 300 hurdles, and she don't care. As long as she gets to state, she's not interested in placing. And to me, that's the goofiest thing I've ever heard. Why you'd want to go to states and not place? I don't understand it. She's got a lot of raw talent, and what you notice through the season is she starts out with a bang, but toward the end of the race, she's dogging it. And I keep telling her, if you put more into it, you're going to get more out of it. And you can tell I'm really athletic, and I'm a good coach. I know what I'm talking about here today. And she would probably tell you, who are you? You never did anything in your life. I hear those words coming back. But that's where her mentality is. We had a girl that was on our track team this year, javelin. She won districts. She won states. And she actually went the whole way and won nationals. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. Isn't that where kind of what we're the athletes are supposed to be shooting for? But in this story, you know, Jesus' expectations were high. He wasn't satisfied with this man just seeing blurry people walking around like trees. He wanted something more for this man. We notice he spit in his eye. I don't know how he spit in his eye. I don't know if he spit on his fingers and rubbed it on his eyes, or he just went, I don't know. I don't know how Jesus did it. But if you were blind and you heard, that'd be kind of a, you know, that's kind of a scary sound. But it just says that Jesus spit on his eyes. It doesn't tell us how he did it. But we see that only a partial healing came at that moment. But Jesus goes on and continues ministering to that individual. And it says, Jesus laid his hands on the man again. And it says he laid it specifically on his eyes. How many know it's important to communicate when we're ministering to people during prayer? It is important. When people are praying, you know, give them some space, but also get in there and say, what can I pray with you? In agreement with. It's important. Sometimes when we're praying for people's healing, we got to know where they're at in their faith. Sometimes it's not in a divine healing. Sometimes it's in having a surgical procedure. Sometimes it's in taking medicine. And so you've got to meet them on their level, but our objective is not to leave them there, but to encourage them and say, hey, there's something better than medicine. There's something better than surgery. There's Jesus. Amen? So that's one of the things that we want to do. That's what we have to communicate. So when we're ministering to people, meet them on the level they're at, and let's try to take them to the next level. And that's what Jesus was doing in this story. He met this man. He ministered to him. Partial healing came. Jesus said, that's not enough. Let's take it up to the next level. And Jesus laid his hands on him. So I have a project going on in my backyard, and it's still a mess. I was hoping to get done this year, but I don't think it's going to get done. We're doing a lot of hardscaping. We're building decks. We built walls last year. Built steps. We're going to build a fire pit. We're doing all this work. And my wife gets itchy to plant things. And how many of you know when you don't even have the beds made, you just don't plant stuff anywhere and everywhere you want to go? And so I already told her that she's already planted things in weird places, and I said, that's probably not going to stay there. That's probably going to disappear. It's probably going to go somewhere else. So please do not give us any plants this year. We don't want them. Some of you have been very generous. Stop being generous. Maybe next year we'll take some of those plants, all right? So there's that expectation, right, that we – if I'm going to do all this hard work, and it is hard work, everything has to be done by hand, I don't want it to look like garbage when we're done. I don't want weird plants being in weird places and it look terrible. It's just the way it is. And so we're looking at this story here, and Jesus did all the hard work. How many know Jesus did all the hard work for you? So let's not mess it up. Let's tap into it. Let's hang on to those promises and claim what he's done for us. That's good whether you like it or not. Amen. So Jesus wasn't satisfied with the man seeing people as trees. Number five, Jesus wanted the man to see clearly. Isn't that good news here today? Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes. His eyes were opened. His sight was restored. He saw everything clearly. This is the point where Jesus wanted to take him. How many know that God's gifts are perfect? They're not halfway. They're not half-hearted. He does it. When he does it well. In Mark chapter 7, 37, the crowds recognized Jesus' ministry. You can read it there. That, what did he do? He did everything well. Woo! Jesus does everything well. He's not working haphazardly in your life, church. He wants you to give his fullness. Not just life, but abundant life, the good life. He wants to bless you, and he gives you his very best. So we got to get past the place of wanting to just, oh, it's okay if I just see trees. No, Jesus wanted the man to see him first so that he could properly see others. So think about it here today. We cannot look at others with compassion until we experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. We love because he first loved us. That is the only way. It is the fruit of his spirit in our lives that he gives us the ability to love. Love is a gift that God gives us. It's not something we can manufacture in our lives. You love your kids, but it's not that deep of a love that God's talking about. This is a deeper love. This is agape love. It is only found in reference to God and what God does in our life and through our lives. That is the only way you'll discover this love, this compassion that we are to have for other people. So, we need to see Jesus first so that we can see others. We live in a world today where people feel just like a number. They feel like a machine. I worked blue-collar jobs. I worked in assembly plants, and that's what you feel like. Day in, day out, you feel like a machine. You do the same thing in and out, minute after minute, hour after hour, all day long. We're not just another pretty face, folks, all right? Sometimes we may feel even used by those maybe that are in authority over us. But the truth is, we all want to be valued, we all want significance, and we all want to be loved. And so number six, see, I got you through. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Jesus told the man not to return the way that he had come. This is kind of funny to me as you think about it. He was blind, and he didn't get there anyway by himself. So I don't know if he knew the way home anyway. Think about it. Right? Okay, go home. It's like, okay, I'm going home. So, once Jesus was encountered, there was no going back. How many know that? When you meet Jesus, he doesn't give you the option of well, okay, if you don't change your mind, that's okay. No, with him, he lays it on the line. There is a cost to following him. We can't buy our salvation, but guess what? there's a cost to following him. He gave you his life. He wants your life. So what we come across is that blindness is a choice. And it happens all the time. We see something on the floor. Maybe you'll see something here on the church on the floor. You know, how many bend over and pick it up? Probably not too many. They'll walk by it. They'll leave it there. And they think, well, the people cleaning the church will do it, or somebody on staff will pick it up. And you just kind of walk your way and never deal with it. Sometimes, how many of you walked by and watched the kids having fun in the water coolers? Watching it overflow, and you're just sitting there, not my kids. But it is your church. It is your water. You bought it. And they are your kids. They belong to this. Don't ignore it. Sometimes jobs need to be done. Sometimes people need assistance. And I know we get preoccupied. We have our own agenda. We're looking out for our own way. And maybe we're in a hurry that we don't really look around us to see people that need help. But I'm going to brag on somebody. I hate to brag on Joe because he's already got a big enough head. And I spent a week with Joe. Sometimes I have twitches and all kinds of things. But I want to tell you, it's not anything that Joe said, but it's what Joe does. He anticipates needs. And I kind of felt embarrassed at times because he would see it and I didn't see it. And we were at, I believe it was a Wendy's when we were on our way back. And I was facing one way, he was facing the other. And there was a lady that was behind us. I think she was probably a grandmother that had two or three grandkids with her. And so they were finishing up. We had just sat down and we were getting ready to eat. And he noticed that she had her hands full. And Joe jumps up, runs across the restaurant, and begins to take her garbage to the receptacle. And I was thinking, wow, I don't know if I would have thought of doing that. I would have probably sat there, watched her try to juggle it, and watched her drop things and chase the kids around the restaurant, and thought, man, that's pretty good entertainment. Come on, some of you think you're really spiritual, like, I'd never do that. And yes, you do. Yes, you do. But, Joe, that spoke to me, and it wasn't the only encounter that we've had where Joe kind of looks around him and he sees something, and he stops what he's doing and goes in and just helps people. That's awesome. Settle down, Joe. Settle down. But when we come to Jesus, guess what? We go away a different way. We go as a different person. We go from not seeing anything to seeing everything. We become a little bit more observant. And I know I quote this scripture a lot, but Philippians 2 is such a wonderful scripture to remind us of how much we need to be looking after others. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in what? Humility. How many of us really humble ourselves, right? Humble ourselves to actually serve people. And we're going to be talking about that next week. Rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Look what it says, not looking to your own interests, but looking to the interests of others. Looking, seeing people. It's important, church, that we see people. Ephesians 2:10, we know what Ephesians 2:8:10, you know, by faith, by grace, we're saved, you know. But Ephesians 2:10 says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. So as I conclude here, if you'll, in John chapter 9, verse 25, Jesus healed another blind man in the temple. And this was the man's testimony. He said, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. What a testimony. And that's hopefully what happened to us at salvation, right? We were once blind. We were once dead. But let me tell you, church, today, maybe we need to kind of think about it again. The power that's in these words. I was once blind, but now I see. It's important that we see. Yes, it's important to take care of yourself, those closest to us. But we also need to see those that are spiritually blind. You see, the man was once blind, but Jesus ends up commissioning him and saying, it's time to open up your eyes and look around you to see that there are others around you. They're not just trees. They're not just part of the background. They're not just there to help you, serve you. It's not just part of life. But as believers, as Christians, as part of the kingdom, that is our life. People are our life. We can make it cozy here for ourselves, but we can't take any of that with us. We can only take people. The Great Commission is about seeing people, valuing them, loving them, caring for them, serving them, seeing them more than just trees, not just part of our daily landscape, but we're called to make disciples. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where there were no friendly people, or you got to the place and there was no people at all. I feel that way when I go to Home Depot. I think the workers there are like cockroaches. You turn the light on and they run. You walk in the door. I've embarrassed Karen and she would duck down another aisle and I would cry out, is there anybody here? You kind of feel like you're the only one in the store. It's weird, folks, to not be around people that are friendly, people that are rude or just ignore you. I've showed up to places where we thought there was a meeting and there was no one there. And I was like, ooh. It's kind of weird. It's abnormal. It's eerie. It's creepy. It's downright freaky. And on vacations, we have gone to churches, walked in their doors, and you would have thought we didn't even exist, that we were invisible. Isn't that amazing? to walk in a church and no one come up and shake your hand and say, "We're glad you're here." Shame on them. And shame on us if we do that. Whew. Shouldn't be that way. We need to see people. We need to value people. We are created to be with people. In the beginning, God said it was not good for man to be alone. He wasn't just talking about having a mate, having a wife or a husband. No, it's not good. He created us to have fellowship and interaction with one another. So, my sermon is basically, let's look beyond the trees. Let's stop seeing people as just backdrops to our life or just a convenience that we need, but they're important. That checkout person, right? That waitress, right? The neighbor across the street. How many know your neighbor's names? I only know one of my neighbor's names. I don't know my neighbors. Shame on me. So let's stop looking at them. Let's see people. Not just on occasion when, man, that guy's weird. Or, get out of my way, flathead. You know that? Yeah. No, people are important. Father, we just come to you today. In introspect today, Father, we're just saying, Lord, here we are. We were dead. We've been made alive. We were blind, the Bible says, and now we see. And Father, I'm praying that we will practice seeing. That we will look around us and look for those opportunities to serve. Holding the door open. Helping, giving somebody a helping hand. Picking something up. Whatever it is, Lord, they may be small things, but Lord, that's where it begins, by seeing. And Lord, when you looked at the crowds, you just didn't see a mass of faces and a mass of people just there, but you saw people. You saw their needs, that they needed you. And Lord, there was people that led us to you. We were once blind. And now that we can see, we're responsible for leading others that are blind to a miraculous experience with you. Forgive us, Lord, for those opportunities missed. But Lord, today, help us accept the fact that we have a grave responsibility. We have been commissioned by you to love people. Help us point the way to you, Jesus. Are you here in this house and you know Jesus? Hopefully you do. If you don't, we always want to give the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Maybe today you're blind and now it's your opportunity to see. Is anybody here that would say, yes, that's me. Today is the day that I want to receive my sight. Anybody be bold enough to say yes, Tim? Raise your hand this morning. I don't know who you are, where you're at with the Lord. But I think most of us here could agree that we've missed opportunities. And we watch people struggle. We know that some people needed help, and yet we didn't help them. We turned a blind eye to their need. And I believe most of us here today say we're guilty of that. But Lord, today we want to make a new start, Lord. Even beginning this week, help us to practice seeing. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, and we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, we're not supposed to be looking at the trees. We're supposed to be looking at people. Amen. So next week, we're going to pray over our individuals going. Keep these individuals we prayed for in prayer this week. Tuesday night, Bible study, kids ministry. back on track? Amen. All right, God bless you. Love one another this morning. Look around you. If you don't see anybody here this morning, reach out to them. Tell them you missed them.